The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why is Romans 5:12 through 21 about slavery to sin and not about condemnation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And I want to give a shout out to our buddy J.B. Bond, Pastor J.B. Bond.
And his wife Jean. And their wife, Jean. Flock at Stillwater Bible Church.
J.B.'s one of my favorite people. Being around JB and getting a hug from JB, it's like getting a shot of vitamin JB. That's what I need. I love being around that guy. He was our faithful board member, and maybe one day we'll get him back on the board. I don't know. But if you want a good church, go to Stillwater.
Yep.
All right. Here's a question from Jack. And Jack says, "Hi, Bob. I read your article on Romans 5:12. Can you tell me how you discern that katakrima means slavery to sin and not condemnation? Thank you." And that's Jack. What is the traditional understanding of condemnation in 5:12?
Well, it's not actually in 5:12. This is 5:12 through 21.
Okay.
And I believe katakrima is found in 5:16. And maybe you could read 5:16.
"And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation."
That's katakrima.
"But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation."
Katakrima again.
"Even so, through one man's righteousness, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life."
Okay, you've got katakrima there in verse 16, and you've got katakrima again in verse 18.
Yeah.
And I have the word penal servitude. Now, when a person is in a prison, that's called a penal institution,
yeah,
right? That's where someone is being penalized or,
yeah,
penalized for offenses they've committed.
Yeah.
Well, I believe what Paul is saying here is the resulting punishment,
yeah,
for us being sinners,
yeah,
is that we become slaves of sin.
Okay.
And so katakrima refers to servitude to sin.
Right.
Slavery to sin. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, where would you get that? Well,
right. So the traditional view is Paul is contrasting positional justification, right?
Right.
Imputed righteousness with condemnation, being, it's the opposite of being justified, right? You're,
right,
condemned.
And
so
I
God
would,
either reckons you as righteous or God reckons you as condemned. That's kind of the traditional Protestant interpretation.
Right.
But then Zane Hodges took it in a different way.
Right. I would say katakrima refers to this slavery to sin, and you find that brought out in chapter 6. Verse 16, for example, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves?" And then he says in verse 18, "And having been set free from sin," that is slavery to sin, "you became slaves of righteousness."
Yeah.
So in our position, we are now slaves of righteousness.
Why isn't it in our experience?
Well, it is in our experience if we yield, according to Romans 6,
uh-huh,
to the Spirit. But if we yield to the flesh, then we're slaves of sin. Because remember verse 16, "Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death,
mm-hmm,
or of obedience leading to righteousness." And that means physical death, and that means experiential righteousness. So Romans 6 talks about this slavery to sin. And by the way, there's only one other use of katakrima in Romans. We saw Romans 5:16, Romans 5:18. Now,
yeah,
look at Romans 8:1, and maybe you can read that.
"There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," and there's a textual variant here, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now, if you have like an NIV or a New American Standard or Holman Christian Standard Bible, you won't have that last part of the verse. But if you have a King James, New King James, what is it, Modern English Version, Contemporary English Version, I think those all follow the majority text.
Yeah.
The majority reading is clearly correct. If you look a few verses later, verse 4, it talks about the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the point of verse 1 is this. It's not there is therefore now no condemnation.
Although that's true.
That is true, but that's not what the verse is saying.
Okay.
What the verse is saying is there's no slavery to sin for the ones who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. If I'm walking according to the flesh, I am experiencing katakrima. I am experiencing slavery to sin.
Yeah.
But if I walk according to the Spirit, I'm not.
So
this is a very straightforward presentation, and I can't remember exactly what was Jack asking about katakrima.
Well, how do you know that it means slavery to sin instead of condemnation? And I think Zane found a reading that maybe it refers to something like that there.
Right, but here's the other thing. If you wanted to refer to condemnation, you would not use this rare word, katakrima.
Yeah.
You would use a much more natural word, like, for example, apolemy is used in John 3:16, right?
Okay.
For perishing.
Yeah. What about 3:18? Like, is condemned already, or what is...
Yeah, I think 3...
Because there, condemned doesn't mean slavery to sin.
Well, I'm looking here in 3:18, and it's krino.
Ah.
Or krinitai, and that's the verb to be judged or to be condemned.
And
remember,
so, right.
John 5:24, shall not come into judgment?
Right.
Well, that's a variation on the same word.
So that's definitely more of a positional word.
Right.
You know, when you're judged, this, you're in your position, you're condemned. But here, I think Zane said, and you're arguing that katakrima here is more of an experience term.
Right. And it would not make sense to all of a sudden pick up this word when this is not a word he used in the justification section in Romans 3 and 4. In fact, it's not used anywhere else in Romans,
well, yeah.
But these three uses, 5:16, 5:18, 8:1.
I wonder what term does he use for people who are not justified in Romans? What about 3:8? What word does he use there? Their condemnation is just.
Let's see.
I have condemnation. Their condemnation is just in 3:8.
It's krima, their judgment. You could translate it as condemnation, but the idea is it's judgment.
Okay.
But krima is not katakrima.
It's not.
No. Krima, you add the prefix kata to it, and you have a different word.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, it could convey the same meaning,
right.
But it doesn't.
What does the kata add?
I think that's what you do in karate. That's your kind of, when you're dancing around, it's called a kata, isn't it? No. Kata kind of means according to, but when you stick it at the beginning of a verb, it can intensify the verb. It can change the meaning. In this case, it changes the meaning to slavery to sin. And we know it because of context. Romans 8:1 is crystal clear, and I would even argue 5:16 and 5:18 are clear. And by the way, Romans 5:12-21 is followed by Romans 6.
Uh-huh.
Well, Romans 6 is all about slavery to sin and how we're not to do that. And that this is in the sanctification section of Romans. Romans 5:1 to the end of chapter 8 is the sanctification section, not the justification section.
Right.
It would make sense that Paul is talking about sanctification principles in Romans 5:16, Romans 5:18, and certainly Romans 8:1, where he's been talking about who will set me free from this body of death in the end of Romans 7.
Yeah.
And then he says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no slavery to sin, no penal servitude.
Right.
To those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
I mean, I could see the other side too. I mean, Zane Hodges' thesis is very controversial.
Oh,
and
it is.
It's new. No one else has made this argument.
Well, when you
before.
Say controversial, not a whole lot of people held it before him. I think some people did.
I don't know that any, I mean, no one that we know of, right? I mean, this is brand new with him.
I don't know. You know, I was in class with him for about 5-6 years during my 7 years at Dallas Seminary, and then I was on my dissertation talking to him. So I was under his tutelage for 7 years at Dallas Seminary. And I found that he would often refer to people who held his view. And what I found was, I mean, not on this question, but on lots of questions.
Sure.
What I found was he would come to these views on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go out and try to see, can I find anybody who agrees with
me?
And when he found someone, he'd go, hey.
See, I'm not crazy.
So you could be right, but Moulton and Milligan do have a reference to Katakrima being used in Koine literature to refer to slavery to sin.
Yeah, I don't even think it's slavery. It's definitely not slavery to sin, because that's not what Koine.
Well, okay, to slavery then.
I don't even think it's slavery.
Well, you want to pull Hodges?
All right, let me pull out Moulton and Milligan here, and I'm
You have it right there?
I have it here.
Where did you get
this? Well, this is your office, and so the book is right behind me.
I think you gave it to me as a birthday
present,
didn't you?
I did give this to you as a birthday gift. Look at this.
Very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. they say Katakrima is a burden ensuing from a judicial pronouncement, a servitude. There are several passages in the literature.
And by the way, servitude's another word for slavery.
Right. And then they say, it follows that this word does not mean condemnation, but the punishment following sentence, so that the earlier lexicographers mentioned by Deisman were right. This not only suits Romans 8:1 admirably, as Deisman points out, but it materially helps the exegesis of Romans 5:16-18, which was your point.
I've been vindicated.
Well, you have one other person who agrees. No, this can mean... No, this is a major... Actually, Moulton and Milligan, for people who are Greek nerds, this was a lexicon that was based on not reading classical literature. This was, they went to look at like the types of documents written by common people to know how common words were used, like laundry lists and business sales and,
right,
and legal judgments and stuff like that. So how were common people, not Homer, you know, not
right,
Sophocles, but just ordinary people, how did they use the language? And this is how they used Katakrima. It was a... not condemnation, but the punishment following the sentence. And so that's where Zane got his idea that this is a better way of reading Romans.
Right.
Very interesting. So to answer your question, Jack, go to Moulton and Milligan. I mean, that's how we can discern what Katakrima means. But then Bob has just made the argument of why that makes more sense of the context of Romans 5 and 6 and 8.
Right.
Thanks for your question. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. You know where to send them, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Join us on tomorrow's program as we discuss eternal security. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.